We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
So it's WTIC, it's Rants Line time. And we take live phone calls, 860-522-9842. It's a lot. I know it's complicated, but we manage. We push our way through it, and we have fun doing it. First, Rant Line call.
Hey, Todd, I'm really upset with the Supreme Court hearings. It's what a sham, what a repeat of 2016. The Democrats are embarrassing. White House and Coons and Booker was despicable. And Harris is just annoying. I can't believe the man's still alive. It's just annoying. This is a waste of time, a waste of taxpayers' money. But my applause goes to Mrs. Barrett, who is just holding up in grace and class and watching these clowns try to do their thing, and she's doing fantastic. But the whole thing is just a sham. Thanks.
Yeah, a lot of people aren't having a fun time with with the Supreme Court hearings. It is a lot of partisanship and a lot of hypocrisy because, let's face it, Democrats, Republicans, they switch sides on these issues depending on how things are going for them and whether they're in power or not. 860-522-9842. Rant line number, 860-751-4698.
Hey, Todd, I'd like to use one of Ned's favorite lines. I'm thinking, yard signs, I think I see some confused people. They got the hate has no home here and Black Lives Matter on the same yard. Don't quite make sense to me. And welcome to Kidnappers. Don't want Ned. That's all I got. Thank you.
You're the first one who's made that observation. How come the kidnappers? Well, I think they like somebody who's kind of hard-nosed and edgy. And Ned is not either of those things, is he?
Listen, today's rant is all about the truth. 220,000 people have died from COVID. Not from diabetes and heart disease and because they're overweight. They've died from COVID. They may have had those pre-existing conditions, but they weren't going to die in a week unless they got COVID. So let's not try to spin this some other way.
No, it's not trying to spin it some other way. It's doing analysis of the numbers and not taking government numbers. Government people lie. Elected officials are liars. That's what they do. They try to take reality and misconstrue it in such a way as to make themselves look better. It is different. No death caused by a disease is a good thing, and everybody who dies from the disease dies from the disease. But people who are going to die this year anyway are a little different than people who are in healthier conditions. That's all. It's important to be evaluating from that point of view. Because the job of the governor is, yes, it's to protect those people who are dying from the disease. It is. That's part of the responsibility. So we have to look at that and say, okay, if the majority of the deaths, the vast majority of the deaths are people over 80 years old, then, yeah, they shouldn't be dying. But they're dying because they weren't protected. So you see, emphasizing that doesn't work to the governor's advantage. It just doesn't. I mean, the reaction, the proper reaction to COVID is this is going to be here for a while. It's a manageable disease for everybody who's under, say, the age of 50 or 60, whatever, wherever you want to draw the line. Therefore, you don't say to people who are 30 or 20 or 40, we're going to treat you just like the 80-year-olds. That's nuts. That causes death. That's what the governor did, and that caused death. That's what happened here.
Hey, Todd. Tom here from Watertown. How about Jolly Ned's history lesson on the 1918 pandemic yesterday? Does this Jamoke just want to hear himself talk all day and cut into your show? Thanks, Todd.
No, you're right. Have a nice day. Did anyone hear that? At the beginning of yesterday's press conference, the governor did a little history thing that was ridiculous. We'll talk more about it. We've got more rant line calls coming your way. 860-522-9842. We're doing our rant line, and while we're doing the rant, we mix in phone calls. So, yes, the day before, the governor did a little tribute to 1918, the big, deadly pandemic. And the interesting thing was that he didn't seem to have a point. It was just some ill-conceived, puffy bit of nonsense, and that's what that call was referring to. 860-522-9842, Matt calling from New Hartford. Hi, Matt.
Well, that was quick. I just got on, Todd. How are you doing? I was good to go.
Yes. Well, you timed it perfectly.
Good. Hey, I was just, it was funny. I was just thinking about, somebody said about the governor's press conference. Today, I was watching Fox 61, and they cut over to him, and obviously they cut in too early. And he was talking about what he was going to say, and then all of a sudden, they said, okay, we have a minute left. And he starts sucking on his little finger way up in the air, and he's got his whole hand up in front of his face, and he's got a little finger in his mouth for about 5 seconds. So I went back and taped it.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. I'll send you a little clip on your email.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah,
I'd love to see it.
It was just funny, that's all. So
you have my email?
I've emailed you many a time, my friend.
All right, good. Thank you, Matt.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
That's pretty funny. Yeah, the governor just, that feed is going sometimes. Usually the audio isn't there, but you can see what he's doing for the couple of minutes before the press conference begins. 860-522-9842, Rants Line.
Hey there, Joe Biden and voters. Everybody remember what happened last time Joe was on board? All those great policies we have that he doesn't seem to want to talk about anymore. All those promises that he's running away from now. How about energy policy? You remember what it was last time? $5, $6, $7 a gallon gasoline. That's right. But it was going to be okay. Why? Because they were going to do it gradually. Electricity prices? Through the roof. Nobody was going to be able to afford light, let alone air conditioning. How would you like to have just had that last summer we just had with no air conditioning and a long, cold winter with no light? Yeah, we're going to transform America, all right? We're going to transform it into a nice third world country. Woohoo!
Hey, Todd, how you doing?
Yeah, good.
I've heard you say a few times now that Trump probably is going to lose this election.
Yeah.
You haven't really come out and said it, though. You've sort of alluded to it every time you talk about him having a 90% chance of losing.
Well, the polls indicate that he's losing. The polls indicate that the momentum has shifted away from him over the last couple of weeks. And the polls are supported by a lot of practical factors. So I'm just pointing those out. I'm not, I want Trump to win the election. The Democrats are a plague that I don't want to set loose in a bigger way on the country. But I don't see good signs here, and I want people to be prepared. It's not people, callers like this guy, the sound is that somehow I'm rooting against Trump because I'm analyzing what's going on and suggesting be ready for this not just being a Trump loss, but maybe being in trouble in the Senate as well. And that's what scares me most, is losing control of the Senate. We've got Amy Coney Barrett on the Supreme Court. That means we've got a Supreme Court that believes in the American system of government. Good. That means a lot. That means the most of anything that could happen. Second, we've got to control the Senate because that has more power. So if we lose the Senate, Trump's president, Trump can't do anything legislatively. It's a stalemate. You know, he can keep doing his executive orders, but we've seen a limited return on that power. So that's all. I'm just telling you what I see.
I'd like you to come on and say, just for the record, you think Trump's going to lose, because I want to be able to call you up the day after the election and really bust your stones.
That sounds great to me. I would love it if you get to do that. I hope that you get to. My prediction is not exactly what you're saying. My prediction, what my statement is, that looking at the evidence today, it looks to me like Trump is going to lose. There's a couple weeks left, 2.5 weeks left. That could change. I hope it changes. But good enough, I would love to have you call up and mock me for having said that, if we're lucky enough to have things go the other way.
I'm an African-American. I'm a Republican. I'm voting for Trump. I voted for him the last time. I'm voting for him again.
It's a little hard to hear, but she said, I'm an African-American. I'm a Republican voting for Trump.
There are a lot of secret Trump voters out there, and we're not telling people because we are smart. They don't want people putting needles in our cars, tires, and, you know, burning down our homes and things like that. So we're just going to let our fingers do the voting. But I don't know how many or what the percentage is. I have a strong feeling you'll see a black turnout for Trump that you would never expect. That's all I have to say. Goodbye, and have a wonderful, wonderful day. How you doing, by the way?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much. It's great to hear from you. That's a good call, huh? 860-522-9842. Barbara's in Avon. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Todd. I just tuned into the show because I was at work and I couldn't listen to it, so I don't know what you guys have been talking about.
Don't worry about it. Go ahead.
I do love that Trump line that you had there, the guy that was talking about what will happen with Joe Biden's president. But anyways, but to my point, so Hunter Biden's laptop was given to the FBI, and they've had
yes.
it since December, and only now is this information coming up, because I guess the fellow that was repairing the laptop had made a copy of all the information on it, and he gave it
yes.
to the newspaper. Okay.
Yeah, we're very tight on time. What do you want to say?
Here's my point. The Anthony Weiner laptop had 650,000 emails on it from Hillary Clinton and Huma Abedin and whomever.
Yep.
That has been sitting on the Anthony Weiner laptop at the FBI for over 4 years. So I think the FBI is colluding, and we can't trust them ever again. They all should be fired. That's my point.
All right. Well, that's a great point. Thank you, Ava. Thank you, Barbara. Great to hear from you. More Rant Line, more phone calls coming up. That ain't working. Hello there. It's Rant Line Hour. Let's get a couple of live calls in. Bill and Cromwell. Hi, Bill.
Hey, Todd. How are you? Loyal listener.
Go ahead,
here.
Sir.
Yep, loyal
What's
listener
that?
Here.
Oh, loyal. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yep. I'm just wanted to comment on your thinking that Trump's going to lose. I was reading on Fox Business this afternoon. There was an article from J.P. Morgan. They did a survey where they're tracking the changes in affiliation of people in the battleground states, and they're noticing in Pennsylvania in particular, 240,000 people switched affiliations to Republican. So they're saying they're tracking those trends, and it's looking good for Trump in a lot of different areas.
Well, certainly Pennsylvania, because of the number of coal miners and, you know, Rust Belt sort of workers who we've heard a lot about over the last few years, who are the disenfranchised, non-college educated white working people who understand
they're saying that
yeah, go ahead.
These people have just changed their parties this year from Democrat to Republican. They won it by 40,000 votes in 2016. And they're saying there's 240,000 people that switched their affiliation in Pennsylvania alone this year.
Yep.
So they're saying it looks good for Trump, not only there, but in North Carolina as well. They're noticing a similar trend in North Carolina. So I think there's
those trends are out there for sure. And hopefully I'm wrong, but those are still being polled by pollsters who are trying to poll as accurately as they can and who've had 4 years to try to correct for the errors they made last year, and who are doing a lot more polling in swing states to make sure that they get those swing states right that they got wrong last time. So I'm assuming, because I trust the science of polls, even though they're not absolute and it's not always accurate, but it's pretty accurate, and they would be... What?
Well, we also see that the mainstream media is not exactly fair to Trump, so I don't really think the polls are fair to Trump either. I think they're trying to...
Well, it's easy to make that connection, but they are two very different things from everything I can tell. But I hear you, Bill. I hope you're right. I do. I hope I'm wrong on this. What I see is, first of all, pollsters are private companies or colleges and nonprofits that are working really hard to be good pollsters. I can say no such thing about 99% of the media. WTIC, good evening. We'll get to Kevin Catapano, senior at UConn, in just a moment, but Joe in New Hampshire. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Todd, quickly, I know you're pressed for time. Before I get to my main point, got a soundbite from Blumenthal today at the testimony. Did you catch when he was bringing up, if I had a nickel for every time something was
said?
Well, he's worth over $400 million anyway. Now, 20 nickels to a dollar. He's got over 8 billion nickels. Why is he asking for more nickels? He's already got over 8 billion of them. Great soundbite. Anyway,
he was talking about for every time he'd heard that elections have consequences. But where did his family get so much money? How did he get so rich?
You know, I'm not sure. That would be worth looking into, because his son Matthew is going to be taking his quota Senate seat, like Ginsburg's seat was their seat.
Yeah.
His seat is going to his son the next election. But
well, that's
his
hope.
In 2 more years. So getting to the New York Post article, listen, I really believe you're sincere in saying Trump has no chance based on what's going on now. And I tend to agree.
I didn't say no chance.
Well,
I don't see it being in the cards for him right
now. Yeah. You know, whatever way you put it, I tend to agree with you. But I told you the other day, there's still 3 weeks to go. Things happen. Well, here, this New York Post is what's happened. That laptop is a treasure trove of everything you need to convict the whole Biden family and a lot more. Nancy Pelosi, Chris Murphy, everything's on there. All the web of how things are intertwined with the Ukraine and China. But here's the thing that's really serious about Twitter and Facebook censoring us and shutting it down. And even McEnany, the spokesperson for Trump, was shut down today. It's gaining a lot of traction. But here's the thing. That owner of that shop is legally blind. Now, when Hunter Biden dropped it off, about 6 months went by. He never came back to pick it up. That's a symptom of drug problems. You forget what you did. But anyway, after 6 months, he went into it and saw what was on it. So he made a hard copy or copies for himself, and he called the FBI. The FBI sent a couple agents last December, picked it up, gave him a card, and said they'd get back to him soon. Well, they never got back to him. So last April, he contacted the number, and the voice at the other end told him, people who don't talk don't get hurt, and they hung up on him. That's when he went, you know, further, and Giuliani's law firm got it. And there's so much more on there. There's so much more to come. But the New York Post has pictures inside yesterday's edition. Did you get a copy of the New York Post from yesterday to see this?
No, I haven't seen the paper, just online.
Yeah, they say it's unbelievable, but there's more to come. This is like part one of many parts. But everything you need to convict the Biden family there, he treats it like a crime
family.
Right.
It was all right, got there. It,
Joe. You had to give Biden 50% of the money. You had to give the father 50% of the money, you know, for every $1 million you got. That's what Hunter was complaining about. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Have a good weekend. Let's get to Kevin Catapano. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Todd. How's it going?
Kevin's a senior at UConn Hartford. So have you been watching the hearings this week following the politics?
Yeah, I've been keeping an eye on the hearings this week. And, you know, I think there's something that should be very, very obvious to Americans. It's very important for Americans to understand this. I think it's on full display. It's that Republicans and Democrats, as a general rule, view the courts in very, very different, conflicting ways. As I say, this has been on display for the entire week as Judge Barrett has been questioned by the Senate Judiciary Committee, and even as the media have encouraged Democrats to pack the court if they ultimately win the presidency and the Senate. And so we'd start with the Democrats. I think, you know, unlike the Republicans, generally speaking, the Democrats don't believe the courts should serve the function which they were initially intended to, which is to not to serve as a secondary legislature, as a check on the other two branches of government by interpreting the laws rather than making them. And so I think the important thing to realize is that they don't necessarily believe the court should be a super legislature. They think that the Supreme Court, like all American institutions, should serve as an embodiment and a facilitator of liberal political and social values. And so using the Supreme Court as a super legislature is the most effective way to use this particular institution for those purposes. And then, you know, as we've seen over the past couple of days, or I think the day or so, they use different institutions in different ways for these same purposes. Namely, they use social media companies like Twitter and Facebook to suppress the spread of information that's harmful to their preferred political candidates.
So I wonder if this is what you're describing is by design, that is, that's a philosophical difference, or are they just doing what they can get away with, and they've been working for years to fill the courts with liberal judges so they can have rulings go their way, and that the Republican viewpoint is similar, because the premise for Republicans is, yes, we want the court to do its intended job instead of rig elections for us, but we also want to fill the court with people who do it our way. So the wrestling match and the politics involved is still pretty similar. Does that make sense? And do you agree with that?
To an extent. I mean, I think, well, certainly there are two schools of thought. There's non-originalism, there's originalism. Democrats adhere to the idea of non-originalism, and Republicans believe in originalism. And so the Republicans, I mean, their theory, the idea for conservatives is not that the courts should serve political purposes. It's the courts are supposed to be independent. They're supposed to be insulated from politics. And then they do this through interpreting the law by exercising judgment as opposed to will. The entire school of thought for Democrats, the entire idea of originalism or non-originalism, I think is inherently political, because the idea is you exercise your jurisprudence in the interest of serving the political needs of your party rather than interpreting the law and ensuring that the laws which are passed reflect the will of the people. So in other words, you have to amend the Constitution before you go ahead, and you got to amend the Constitution before the laws can change. You can't change the laws first. You put the cart ahead of the horse.
Yeah, okay, so that's where I think Democrats are actually coming from, is that they would like to get rid of the Constitution, and short of that, they would like to amend it. But those two things are way too difficult, so they're looking to control the courts through the appointment of judges who will rule things their way. Hold on one sec, Kev. Let me just do this weather forecast, and then we can finish up the conversation. Sorry, Kev, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, the Democrats, like everybody, seem to love the Constitution when it serves their aims, but the problem is it doesn't always serve their purposes, and in those times you have to – there has to be some sort of integrity not to violate the Constitution or sort of override the Constitution in the interest of political victory. And I think
so where do you see the Constitution sitting? Where do you see the Constitution on – It occurred to me recently, I don't know why it took so long, I was thinking about my libertarian point of view and how that differs from conservatism. And to me, the difference is that conservatism is trying to politicize what the meaning of the Constitution actually is in order to win elections. That is, to me, the meaning of the... To say you're a libertarian means that you believe in the American Constitution. And to say you're conservative means that you support a political party that, on the one hand, believes in principles of liberty, but on the other hand, also tries to pull in evangelical voters and represent them by being anti-abortion and things like that, which aren't necessarily in alignment with notions of liberty. What's your feeling about that?
I think it's actually good that you brought up libertarianism and conservatism. I think one of the funny things is how similar they've actually become. I mean, traditionally speaking, conservatism is different than libertarianism. Conservatism is an inherently political ideology, and libertarianism is a belief in individual freedom above any sort of political interests. The idea that you can that your right to swing your fist ends where my nose ends. But
yes.
I think over the years, as the Democrats have become somewhat more authoritarian in their tendencies, in their ideas for larger government and more expansive crackdowns on individual liberties, libertarianism seems to have almost become synonymous with conservatism. I think conservatives tend to find a lot of common ground with libertarians that they traditionally wouldn't have.
Well, they should, because it seems to me that most of the spirit of conservative beliefs does overlap with liberty-based viewpoints. And the only straying from that really is a contortion, a struggle to try to reshape things a little bit in order to embrace a different set of voters. Do you agree?
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know how certain things fit. Otherwise, if you're not just saying, OK, we're doing this, we're contradicting our own beliefs to be able to win elections, which is an imperative that parties deal with. They have to win elections. Those of us who believe in liberty just say, no, I'm here to defend the U.S. Constitution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think libertarians do. I would have to agree that libertarians serve that important political function. You know, it's all fine and well for both sides of the political aisle to compete with each other to pass their political priorities into governance, but there does have to be a prioritizing of individual liberties, of certain individual liberties, above politics, and this is what you get from libertarianism. And one of the things I also wanted to know, it does seem interesting. Nowadays, conservatives seem to agree with libertarians on certain political issues, but for different reasons, and I thought that's kind of odd.
Different reasons from why libertarians believe it, you mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, let's see if I've got this right. It's possible I'm mixing this up. I would say, or is it? I mean, if you take certain issues, conservatives will take a position on a particular issue because they believe it's a morally reprehensible thing to do, for example. But then the libertarian will take that same issue and they'll oppose it or support it on the grounds that government should stay out of this business altogether.
Yeah.
Or perhaps it's liberals. I don't know. I have to continue working out my thinking on this. It's possible that I've got this.
All right. Go back.
Got this mixed up.
Go back to contemplation, and we'll talk more about it next time or some other time we discuss. Kevin Catapano, nice to have you here, sir.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you again soon. All right. Always good to talk with Kevin. Nice to have young, smart folk talking about their political beliefs and sometimes doing it better than older folks do.
Hi, it's Bill in Bristol. I disagree with you about polls. They're influencing your thinking. That's why you say Trump's going to lose. That's what polls do. They influence your thinking. They don't tell you the truth. Also,
Well, those are two separate things. Polls influence your thinking. That's what they're there for, to provide information. You're saying, I guess, polls are no good because the information's no good. And I'm saying you have to know how to read polls And they're not absolute. They're indicators, and you have to know how to interpret properly the indications. And I'm not saying I'm brilliant at it or anything, but I think when I think to just discard them all and say, oh, no, those are all lies and wrong, is just telling yourself what you want to hear.
The way the liberals or the Democrats have been treating this Mrs. Barrett, it'll be a huge win for Donald Trump, because more Catholics are going to vote for Donald Trump because of what's going on with this lady. Now, she is a lady. She's not like an individual like, what's her name, who asked her if she's sexually assaulted a woman. That senator there, I don't even want to mention her name. Thank you.
Thank you. Good to hear from you. Yeah, I don't know how the Catholics, I'm going to check the numbers on Catholics and how many they are. I know they're pretty much evenly divided between Republicans and Democrats.
Yes, Dr. Fauci, Dick Blumenthal, and Chris Murphy all have one thing in common.
What is it?
They don't have the brains that God gave a potato. You're absolutely useless. Get rid of them.
All right, you convinced me. Who do I call? I'll make the call right now. Thank you so much for that rant line call. Oh, my, my. Follow me on Twitter, please, at Todd Talk. And if you want to go to my Facebook page, type in toddtalk.com. That URL brings you right to my Facebook page, toddtalk.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.